The times, they are a changin'. We're going to talk about how webcomics have changed over the past few years since we've started doing ours, and kind of take a look back and take a look forward this week on the Shadowbinders podcast. Okay, welcome back to the Shadowbinders podcast. I'm Tom Pratt, the artist of Shadowbinders, and I'm joined by my wife, Cambria Pratt.
Hello.
Okay, we're going to talk about some of the changes that we've seen in the webcomic scene since we've started. Now, we haven't been doing it a really long time. We've been online since 2010. I did have some other web projects before that, though, going back to like 2008. So we've been kind of keeping an eye on the webcomic scene for, several years now. And it just seems in the last year or two, especially, that things have really been changing. Like the, if you hear purring, that's our cat. She's right up on the microphone.
Well, I was going to say, you actually go further back than that, babe, because you actually were helping people set them up.
On Modern Tales. I helped a friend set up a webcomic before Modern Tales, and then he wound up on Modern Tales. And that was, like 10, 12 years ago.
I know when I first met you, and that was like 99, you were talking about how you think everything's going to go digital and webcomics were the big thing coming up.
And I didn't
do
anything.
You've been around a lot longer and been watching it a lot longer.
Yeah, I have been watching it for a while. And I didn't really do anything about it because I could never wrap my head around how to monetize it. It just didn't seem like it was, that's still the issue.
That's a whole other topic.
How have things changed? Well, this is a hard, a lot of people have been talking, people we've been talking to have been, mentioning that it seems like it's harder to find an audience these days than it has been in the past. And I think there are, Cam and I have been talking about this a lot lately, and we think there are a number of factors, that are leading to that. And, here, Cam, do you want to talk about some of your observations?
Well, no, I just don't think there's as many people reading webcomics as there used to be. Well, I mean, that and the fact that you have how many more webcomics now than you had several years ago. I mean, honestly, it's ridiculous the number of comics that are on there. So you have the same amount of people or less spread over a much larger area.
Yeah, it's oversaturation. I mean, I think that's a big part of it. I think, what happened is there were some folks that had some success early on. They jumped on it. And, you have to realize, too, that back, when this whole thing started, you might have had, 100 webcomics or 200 webcomics. Now you probably have 100,000 webcomics.
Yeah, like 200 new ones a day.
People were popping up every day, and they think they're all going to be the next, PvP or Penny Arcade. And, it's just really an oversaturation. A lot of the webcomics now that have a decent readership, they started before YouTube, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been around a long
time. Well, I was going to say, another thing that I think is going on is, where do the people that would be your readers go now? And a lot of them aren't going to webcomics. They're going online to, go to YouTube or to go to, social media sites or to go to, gaming things to play online games and stuff, and they're not really reading the webcomics. They're interested in other things.
I mean, your webcomics readers are also consumers of other, free online content.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, even if they're not paying for anything, I think they're going to go where there's more bang for their buck. Mm-hmm. And like Cam said, that's going to be, movies or games or something like that.
You said about Tumblr.
Tumblr, I think a lot of people are forsaking, starting their own site and going to Tumblr. Which I think has, an upside and a downside. The upside is you're going where readers are and they're looking for certain things. The downside of that is you basically get lost in a soup of,
But how's that any different?
Well, it's not. It's not, except, folks on Tumblr probably aren't, promoting their individual sites as much. I don't know. Monetizing it. We don't really do a lot with Tumblr. I'm really sorry. The cat is like right up on the microphone
here. She's purring.
Yeah, she's...
Listen to the Shadowbinders podcast. We've got cats.
That'd go on Tumblr. No, it just seems like, do those eyeballs, you may have a lot of eyeballs, do they actually translate into sales? Do they translate
into revenue? Well, no, they not always, especially if you're someplace like, you know, Tumblr or something where you can't, unless you're doing a Kickstarter or something, you're not going to have the, you can't really do as much with monetization as you can with your own site. But then again, if people are on Tumblr, they're going to find you, or if they're out, they're not exactly out looking for new webcomics, unless they already know what webcomics are.
Well, that's just it, and a lot of people don't know what webcomics are, and a lot of people have been calling for years to just get rid of the term webcomics.
Yeah, which is what they were talking about on the Webcomic Alliance had a post up, which if you haven't listened to them, you should go listen to their podcast. But they had a post up someone did about why don't we just call it comics, because it is comics. And they are comics.
Yeah.
It's just that they're delivered on the web. So they're basically saying if the delivery system's different, but it's still comics.
Yeah, and guys like, you know, Scott Kurtz have been saying that for a while now. And, you know, I mean, a lot of those guys, they've crossed over, mm-hmm. you know, into print, too. So they're...
But that's kind of the problem. The problem is that, they said, well, people don't know the word webcomics. And there's, well, if we go to conventions, we go to anime conventions especially, they know it. And other conventions, we've been to Comic Cons, they know when you say webcomic, they know what it is. But that's because they're comic readers.
Mm.
The general public at large has no flipping idea what the heck a webcomic is.
No, they don't. Even comic book conventions, we go to a comic book conventions. I mean, these people buy comic books.
Yeah, but they mostly know what comics are. When you say webcomics, they're like, oh, they know what it is.
Yeah, well, and sometimes, I mean, frankly, webcomic has had a negative connotation because it's always associated with amateur hour. It's like, it's, oh, those crappy, you know, stick figure comics I've seen online or amateurish comics. You know, so that's hard too, because again, it's, you know, with a lack of gatekeepers, you've got some very, very good comics online, and you've got a lot of comics that frankly aren't that good.
When people come in like, oh, there's comics online, the first thing they see is the ones that aren't that good, then they're going to be jaded against webcomics.
Yeah, like, oh, anyway. That's garbage.
But I think beyond that, then they said about, well, oh, well, you just tell people you have a published book. Well, the thing is that you run into is you say, oh, I'm published. People automatically assume, and they do, oh, well, who do you work for, Marvel, DC? You know, there's not a, you're published, they admit, well, you say I'm published, that means that someone's publishing me. So then you have that, you can say I'm self-published, and as soon as you say I'm self-published, people immediately assume, well, you're self-published, that means you're not good enough to be in the people that publish.
Yeah, that's...
It's not true, but that's what they assume.
And with comics especially, I mean, you know, the vast majority of indie creators are self-published. It's just, you know... There's a stigma there, too, I think.
Yeah, it's not a valid stigma. It's just that it's people assume that if you say self-published, that means you're not good enough to be published by the people that they think, quote-unquote, matter.
Right. And that's just, you know, again, this is, you know, just the public perception. But, I mean, to be honest, it's just, you know, average Joe on the street is not going to go on the internet with the intention of finding your webcomic.
Well, they don't even know they exist. I mean, they might know there's comics, and they think comics, think books. They might even know what a graphic novel is, you know. And they're going to immediately think, oh, it's a Marvel thing. It's a DC. They're a superhero. Or it's like, oh, my kid brings those home from their book fair from Scholastic. You know, they're going to assume you're part of one of those. They don't know that there's this whole other thing. So the problem isn't really necessarily the vernacular. The problem is the fact that there's a total lack of awareness in the mainstream, in the general market.
Yeah, and you know, it's definitely, things have changed because of that. And I mean, this is an armchair observation, but it does seem like overall readerships have gone down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, based on,
boy, I've been watching for a couple of years. Yeah, it seems the numbers are dropping.
Based on, you know, the data that we have available, you know, unless people are hoarding information, it just seems like, readership on the whole for webcomics, it seems like it's sort of on the decline, and there could be a number of reasons for that. It could be that, you know, a lot of people read, maybe they read the webcomics in college or out of college, they don't have time for it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe, you know, because like I don't really, unfortunately, I don't follow a lot of webcomics. I don't really
have time.
I'm too busy making stuff.
Well, the thing is, it's
stuff.
Like, too, you know, you figure it might have been big with a certain group, and that group's moved on, and then there's nothing promoting the younger group coming in and bringing them into webcomics. A lot of them don't even still know what it is.
No.
You know what I mean? It's just, it's a lack of awareness is what it's about, because you can go to a convention and sell them a print book and be like, well, see, I'm a published author, here's my book, and you might get some people at the convention to buy your print book, but that's great. They want more. Where they have to go on the web.
Yeah, and let's be honest here with, you know, even with the long form comics versus gag comics. I mean, gag comics have always had an easier time. They probably always will
they
have
still,
an easier
because
time.
You can, they're shared like crazy on Tumblr, yeah, on, you know, Facebook and, you know, Twitter and all that.
Yeah, the oatmeal, okay, prime example. It's, you know, a one page gag. It gets shared all over the place, mm-hmm, and it doesn't require the reader investment that a long form comic has. So, you know, those are going to be a lot harder to sell anyway on the internet because, I mean, especially like, I mean, we're looking at, you know, we're going on 5 years and we're kind of just warming up, you know, our people.
Well, actually, it'd be 4 years in August.
4 years? No, yeah, well, yeah. Right. I'm sorry. A long time. We've been working on it a long time. And, you know, you have to wonder, do people start to get bored? You know, is it taking too long? Do they figure, well, we know they put books out, we'll just come back when there's a book.
I don't know.
That's easier.
But the thing about people like saying about we should just all call it comics and comics, and I think they all are comics. I think you're just differentiating by delivery system.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, a graphic novel is a book you're going to buy that's a complete story in print, or at least part of a complete story in print. Digital comics usually download. There would be a chapter or a book that you buy, then you buy it in a chunk. And web comics are trickled out a couple pages a week over the course of a longer time.
Mm.
So it's all comics. It's just, they're actually being divided up by
how they're being delivered. Yeah, it just seems like I think people are maybe are losing patience in the delivery system. Or it's not as relevant as it used to be. I think it used to be that, you know, again, I can't speak from experience because we weren't doing webcomics 10 years ago, but from what I remember, readers were trained to come in at a certain time,
mm-hmm,
you know, your Monday, Wednesday, Friday, whatever.
You didn't have all the distractions now, like all the social media and all the, you know, other things like YouTube and stuff. Yeah, so that's all going to take their attention. If I have 5 minutes on the internet, I'm going to go watch a funny cat video on YouTube, you know what I mean?
Versus reading your comic. And it used to be that the funny distractions before YouTube were the webcomics. So webcomics were funny. It was something you could put online with a lower bandwidth, you know, dial-up modem. You could read webcomics slowly, but you could read them. And yeah, there's just too much. If it's not in your face, if you're on Facebook and stuff is being shoved in your face, you're not really going
to. Plus, you have to remember, too, like, I don't know, it seems like outside of comics, in like, you know, entertainment in general, mm-hmm, it's as they used to be 10 years ago. They didn't have as many movies as they had now. They didn't have as much product that they have now. So if you have money to spend, are you going to, and time to spend, are you going to spend it on reading a webcomic and buying something there? Or are you going to go to the movies and see the new Godzilla movie and then go buy the toy?
Which is awesome, by the way.
Yeah, but my point is, you have like, you know, a different movie, like 3 movies a week, every week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You have limited time. Where are you going
to
put your time?
Yeah, I mean, as far as, I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, the hottest demographic to market to now are geek culture. I mean, it's geek culture. And 10 years ago, there wasn't nearly as enough.
No, there wasn't.
As much out there. And now there's just a lot more competing for your geek dollar. And webcomics
were
cool.
And geek time.
And geek time. I mean, when you've even got, reality shows on TV catering to, you know, your demographic, presumably your demographic, your geeks that are into comics and whatnot. It makes it harder. It's harder. It's a lot harder.
But what are they promoting on these shows? They're promoting the mainstream because that's what is paying for the shows. So people, when they associate comics, they're going to associate with, oh, I saw the Comic Book Men, and it's like, you know, Marvel, DC, and those things.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
They're not going to be like, oh, hey, there's stuff on the web. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just not.
So the problem is, I think the problem and the solution is that it's a bunch of people in the general market that have no idea, and there's a lack of education, and the perceptions are wrong. When they are out there, they're usually wrong. So I think instead, and then people are advertising and marketing their webcomics, but they're advertising and marketing the webcomics to other webcomics.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because people always wonder why most of their readers seem to be creators. I'm like, well, when you advertise on each other's sites,
or you do fan art to get exposure. You do link shares. It's just,
yeah, and if you're out on DeviantArt and you're out on Tumblr, there's a lot of other creators there. You know, you're pretty much just going, you know, preaching to the choir.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's everybody checking everybody else's comic out. I mean, we do have quite a few readers that aren't creators, which is cool. As far as just, you know, starting from the ground up now, it's going to be a lot harder because, you're going to kind of like, you're going to find this niche of people that like webcomics or into the webcomic thing or into art or
but
whatever.
But it's the same pool. It's like, it's, right. it's, and the pool is like, people are getting tired of it and leaving. So the pool's actually shrinking instead of getting bigger. And the only way you're going to make it larger is to go out there and say, you know, into the mainstream, you're like, oh, I'm going to advertise webcomics, mine, but webcomics in general, to the mainstream, and that people will know better what, that they're comics, and they are comics, but they're comics online. There's comics online for free. Yeah. Sometimes you can buy them for like a couple bucks for digital download. Oh my gosh, I had no idea.
No, they don't. And again, this comes down to marketing. I mean, this really comes down to marketing, because you're not going to be able to compete really on the same levels like a Marvel or DC, because they've got all those marketing dollars behind them. So, you know, they pretty much, the vast majority of what Diamond sells is Marvel and DC. The vast majority of what comic shops sell, Marvel DC. Same with conventions, they're going to promote Marvel DC, right, because it's just, that's the way it is. So,
but if everybody worked together to promote the whole idea of webcomics in general.
Yeah.
I mean, because they have a bunch of money and stuff, but the people work together, isn't it? They could have the same effect.
Well, there were, I mean, you know, several years ago, it seemed like, you know, people sort of worked more together to promote that.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, is I think no one's going to get anywhere or get any help unless they get the general, they get more people into the pool, because the pool's shrinking. Let's just be honest here.
Yeah, the pool's shrinking.
The amount of what's out there to consume is greater, and what the amount of consumers is shrinking. I think you need to bring people into the pool.
Yeah, I think it was Garrison Keillor, Prairie Home Companion, who made a comment a couple years ago that really ruffled some feathers with self-publishers. He basically said in the future, and I'm paraphrasing here, he said in the future everyone will have 17 readers and they'll make an annual salary of about $1.48 or something like that. I don't remember the numbers exactly. But he wasn't wrong. He said, you know, because everybody's self-publishing, you may have your audience, but you're going to have a smaller audience than the folks that are in the mainstream, just because that's just the way it is. You know, and if that is enough to sustain the comic, that's up to you. I don't, you know, it depends on what your goals are, you know, whether or not.
Which we talk about all the time. It depends on your goals.
Right, right. But it definitely, things are changing. A lot of the collectives that were around, you know, a few years ago are not around anymore. They're no longer
relevant. But even that doesn't matter. A collective is a collective of webcomics advertising the webcomics, unless they're out there trying to promote webcomics or just, you know. And, you know, and I guess the problem what they were talking about in there was this is the word webcomic, and why can't we just call it comics? You can. It is a comic. It's just delivered on the web. So it is a comic. But if you're primarily on the web, you know, that's great. You have a comic, but you know, people, when you say the word comics, they're not gonna think comics on the web. You know what I'm saying? You can call it comic, and it is. And people are like, oh, well, web comics, you know, is kind of a derogatory connotation. Well, it's like, because you have to change it. I mean, it's just about awareness.
Yeah, I mean, there are exceptions. There have been, you know, a handful of comics, I think, the last, like, 4 or 5 years actually have, you know, managed to gain a readership.
Yeah, but then a lot of times they go through other methods.
Right, and they've had to fight for it, too. I mean,
oh, yeah, you always have to fight for it because there's so much, you know? Yeah. I mean, if there's, like, one biscuit and there's, you know, 500 people vying for the biscuit, your choice is either a couple people get the big piece of the biscuit or everybody gets a tiny piece of the biscuit and no one gets anywhere. And unfortunately, I think what's been going on is no one gets anywhere, which is okay. It's just that, you know, people are complaining about, well, there's a negative connotation with the word webcomics. Well, why? But I mean, if there's sheer numbers of people, you know, and they're all getting little pieces of biscuit, well, wouldn't it make more sense for those sheer numbers to go out to where they bake the biscuits and bring in more biscuits?
Bake the biscuits. I mean, find the biscuit truck, hijack
it. And then bring in more biscuits. And then everybody gets a bigger piece of biscuit.
Well, that's just it. Everybody's fighting for a shrinking market share, you know, even though it's webcomics, even though it's free content. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see where things go. Because even with, you look at crowdfunding, and that's taking off because you can basically, you know, and it sounds really crass, but you can monetize a smaller audience more effectively.
Yeah, but even that's dropping.
Yeah, it is dropping.
I mean, I'm sorry. Look at webcomic Kickstarters like 2 years ago and look at them in the last year. There's a huge, I mean, there's a couple exceptions to that. But overall, you're not getting as much money because, you know, mostly I think it's because people didn't deliver and that's affected everybody negatively. But, you know, it's just everybody and their brother's going and doing it. I mean, everybody and their brothers jumping on all these bandwagons, and that's okay, except what happens is every time you have, you know, five people on one bandwagon and there's like, you know, $10,000, each person gets a large amount. But if you have 10,000 people on the bandwagon, there's only $10,000.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
Well, it's, yeah, with kicks, I mean, you're not going to, you know, I remember in 2011, 2012, even, like, you know, comics with medium readerships were getting like, you know, 100,000 plus.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And then, yeah, now that everybody's doing it, it's just, it's not, you know, working as well. And, you know, the other one now we're seeing is Patreon. And, you know, Zach Wienersmith had an incredible, you know, he's doing like $8,000 a month, but you're probably not going to do that.
No.
You're not.
Because you might do okay, but you're not going to
do it. Yeah, you're not going to do what he's doing. And that's probably going to dwindle as there are more choices.
Yeah, but that's more because he already had a big, he was one of the ones that got in early, had big readership already, which that's like not really, that's got apples and oranges, but.
Well, that's it too. And people aren't understanding, like they're looking at like, oh, look at all the money you make in webcomics. It's like, yeah, for the most part, you know, the folks that are doing well in webcomics are the same people that were doing well in webcomics 10 years ago.
Right.
You know, very few people have come in the last 4 or 5 years and been able to, with the exception of probably the Oatmeal is the only one I can think of, that has, you know, reached the same level of success as, you know, your Penny Arcades and your mm-hmm. Saturday Morning Breakfast Cereals and PvP and those comics, because they built their audiences early, you know?
Yeah.
And,
yeah, back when, and then people, you know, they read other comics, they're still loyal to them because they were the first, you know, ones they were reading. And
right, right. And so sometimes it even becomes like, I still read this comic out of habit because I've already got, you know, 10 years invested in it.
See, I don't even know what to tell people anymore because it's like, I don't have any answer either. It's because the market's dwindling, the pool's shrinking, the supply is through the roof, and it's just, you know, short of going out and bringing people, more people into it.
Or doing something really freaking unique. And then realizing that if you're successful, you're going to make your own competition because you're going to have
everybody's going to copy you.
Everybody's going to copy
you. So you do something unique and new, bam, everybody else is doing it too.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
That's just the way it is. That's we found that out a long time ago. But it's just like, you know, you're just going to have to, I don't know, think outside the box for one. But two, I think people just need to move outside the box. I think they're boxing themselves too much.
Yeah.
I mean, that goes back to niching yourself into oblivion. Yep. Oh, yep. Well, webcomics are for a niche audience. Yeah. Well, that's great.
You're a niche within a niche. But
your niche is shrinking.
Yeah.
You know what? You're an endangered species, and you're niching yourself into oblivion. So
I really do. I mean, I'm not trying to be negative. I know
every business model evolves in some way. It has to, or evolve or die.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the way it is. And that's what webcomics. You're going to have to either evolve or die. And I honestly think that webcomics could do okay and could do better, but you have to get the word out there what they are, and they're there. People don't know they're there, they're not going to come in.
No, no.
I mean, that's marketing 101. You have to get your product out there, or no one's going to know you exist, and no one's going to buy it.
But that costs money.
But even if it doesn't cost money, if there's free comics online, you get money advertising. People don't come here because they don't know we're here.
No.
And just selling print books at a convention isn't going to help either, because then people just still associate with, oh, well, you're a comic because you have a print book. And they might not look negatively on you as much negatively, oh, you're not a webcomic, because, you know, webcomics are a bad connotation. But no one knows you're there. No one's going to continue to follow you.
Well, it's even the same with the conventions, because, I mean, you go to conventions, you go, oh, awesome, you've got your books, but people have to go to the conventions to buy the books, you know.
Yeah, actually, conventions are picking up. There's a lot more conventions.
Well, they are.
But
conventions are picking up. Now, I worry, I mean, that's cool in some respects, but I also worry about that because, I'm afraid that the convention scene is going to sort of wind up like the webcomic scene where it's an oversaturation.
Well, that's what's going on. These conventions are like, oh, I'm making all this money by having, you know, 30 vendors, so I'm going to make it 60 vendors, and it's going to be a bigger deal. And you
bring 600 vendors.
Yeah, and you bring a lot more people in as people to come in, you know, as con-goers. But the problem is that there's so much more competition for your vendors.
Mm-hmm.
That they're like, I can't make any money this, and I'm not coming back. And then the convention tanks.
People were critical of SPX. Now, I couldn't go last year because, you know, we had family issues. But that they had basically doubled the size of the show. And the reason that it had always done well in the past, as I understand it, is that it was a pretty small, you know, show.
Well, as far as having vendors.
There's a lot of attendees, but they limited the number of vendors, and then they just kind of opened it up last year. I'm not sure how it's going to be this year. But, you know, and that does happen. Then, you know, it might be burnout on the part of the con-goers because instead of having one convention a year they go to, there's like five conventions a year.
And you don't have as much money to spend at each one.
Right. And if you get the same people at every show, every time, it's like, well, I'll just catch it the next, you know, 10 conventions you're going to be at, because we know we're going to see you, because it's just like the same thing. So, you know,
there is no answer that we can give.
There's no, and everybody's trying to figure this out. Like, what is next?
I honestly think until you bring more, you expand your pool, as far as not expanding your pool as far as supply, but expanding the pool as far as demand. And the only way you can get that is if you go out there and bring people in that don't, you know, people don't know that they're there. If you don't know that they're there, they're not going to come there.
No, yeah, and it's and that's just it. It's like, it's basically the webcomic readership. There's a massive potential readership, but you know, until they sign the dotted line, as it were, you know, it's that those readers haven't actually converted to.
Well, I always say it's like if readers were about a giant pie chart.
Yeah.
Of that pie chart, there's only a tiny percent that read comics,
mm-hmm.
and of that tiny percent that read comics, there's only a much tinier percent that read webcomics. And of that there's even tinier percent of the genres within the webcomics. So you're talking like a fraction of a fraction of a fraction that read webcomics. So what you have to do is you have to get to those other people who like to read, who don't read webcomics. But then there's a problem too. They said reading is on the decline. People aren't reading anymore.
No. And it's easier to watch that funny cat video than it is.
But you know what? That's the one good thing for comics though. Because people don't want to read books, but comics are pretty much, they're very similar to movies. It's a visual medium. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we could totally catch those people.
Yeah.
You know, we are sitting on an opportunity and a half. It's just we have to get those people from here to here. It's like a rainbow to the pot of gold at the end of the web comics, you know.
Be a web comic rainbow.
Yeah, no, I don't. No, I'm just saying, you know. Well, I was really weird earlier. I was thinking, it reminds me of underwear. It's like,
Okay.
So people are saying about we should call it comics and not web comics because people will understand comics. But that's like saying underwear in general. There's lots of types of underwear.
Yeah.
There's bras and there's boxers.
Panties.
But people aren't utilizing the same types of underwear, hopefully. So everybody's wearing it, but they're not all utilizing the same types.
Hopefully.
So everybody might be on, you know, everybody might be on briefs, but they're all forgetting about the cute little bikinis over here. You know what I'm just saying? It's like everybody knows underwear.
Okay.
But they don't go to the right type of underwear.
Everybody wearing the same underwear. You're like at the grocery store. There's like some fat middle-aged guy wearing like a thong or something.
Right.
But you don't know he is because it's under his.
But my point is, everybody knows underwear, but they might not know about a specific type of underwear. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you need to get everybody to that type of underwear. You need to be the next big thing in underwear.
You need to be the next panties.
That's right.
But
speaking of which, we have a T-shirt that says "You're so panties." Check it out.
Your comic needs to be so panties to get.
That's
people.
Right. We have a T-shirt that proves that. No. I was thinking about that. I was just like, it's like underwear. Everybody knows that. Everybody uses it. Everybody wears it. But everybody that wears different kinds.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely, you know, things are just changing. And, you know, it's like anything else. It's, I mean, nobody has all the answers. People have been, you know, trying to muddle through this, you know, online comics thing for 15 years now. And some people have more answers than others, but I don't think anybody has all the answers.
I don't think it has answers as much as they have
luck. They haven't had answers.
Or they have, you know, they stack the deck in their favor by knowing certain things, but they don't really have answers.
Right. Because it changes. It changes so much. The internet, I mean, 5 years in internet time, it's like dog years. You know, it might as well be 50 years.
We're already dead.
No. I mean, I just think about, you know, all the comics that were around even 5 or 6 years ago that aren't updating anymore, you know? And it's, you know, definitely changing.
Yeah, no, I just think it's a matter of, there's not that there's a lack of people that could read them. There's millions of readers out there that would read it that just don't know you exist.
But the financial resources it would take to get those readers.
It's like the hot guy or girl that you have a crush on, and you could totally, you know, be their ideal person if you actually knew, they actually knew you existed.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to go get the hot guy and the hot girls and bring them over and so you know you exist.
Yeah. Well, I think, what, you know, as far as, you know, online, I think, you know, stuff like Comixology has definitely moved. But then people's perception of digital comics now is you go to Comixology and you download
DC. Let's be honest here. Comixology? Who knows about Comixology? The comic people who already know about comics.
Right.
It's the same thing.
I get comics on my iPad, but who cares?
But only people that are going to care are people who read comics anyway. Right. So again, you're not...
Until they have a kiosk in Walmart, I don't think most people are going to care.
same downward spiral, because eventually they're just going to have all the comics they want off of comics. You know what I'm saying? Unless you bring new people in.
Yeah.
They're going to age out, or they're going to whatever, or times are going to change, and technology is going to change, and it's going to be obsolete, and you still don't have readers who read it. It can only appeal to people who already know it exists.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. I think you've already, you know, aging out, because the print comics market sort of shrunk because everybody aged out of comics. Kids stopped reading comics, and all the comics were kind of relegated to the comic book shops, and that's kind of
Kids still read them. It's just that you have to
get them where kids are. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you have to get your readers where they are, and they aren't reading webcomics. So advertising the webcomics helps sometimes, but it's not really getting new readers, because I think everybody needs to try to focus on bringing new readers to their own comics, but then into webcomics in general.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, what's the point if you're not bringing people in? I mean, like, any product, whether it be underwear or comics or toothpaste. I mean, if you're not out there telling people you exist and bring people in to try it, how are you going to keep getting people in? People are just going to, all people who are going to use your toothpaste are going to age out. And they're going to have dentures. No one's going to care anymore.
Yeah, well, that's kind of happening, you know, again, with a lot of readerships, too, I think. It's just that they're like, okay, I've been following this for like 5 or 6 years, and I just don't have time for it, don't care. You know, we've actually had some of our readers flat tell us it's moving too slow, you know.
I wish we could do it faster.
Yeah, I wish we could do it faster. But, you know, people basically have ADHD now, and it's hard, too,
because the fact that people are like, oh, I want it one big chunk. Okay, great. We could just wait and not update the webcomic and just put it in a book form. But then by the time you do that, all your readers forgot who you were because they're onto something else, and you're not relevant anymore, and so you're not going to be able to sell the book you make anyway.
Yeah, it's like, okay, guys, we'll see you in 2 years. Again, internet time, 2 years, it might as well be 10 years or 20 years, because they're just not going to wait around for you. And it's like, oh, yeah, I think so I remember that comic I used to read.
It's a really hard thing. I mean, there's no answer.
No, there is no answer. And that's a scary thing. I mean, it's a scary place to be, but then the flip side is there's no set business model, so pretty much anything goes, you know.
But, I mean, back to the whole point, which was webcomic changing, and why not using the word webcomic. Call yourself whatever you want. I mean, call it a comic, call it a graphic novel, call it whatever you want to call it instead. If you don't want to use the term webcomics, that's up to you. But the point is, if it's delivered on the web, it's still a webcomic, and you're still going to have a limited audience unless you extend it. And they also realize if you say you're published, people are going to assume that by saying published, it means you actually were paid by a publisher to be published. That's what they're going to assume. Yep. And if you say you're self-published, they're going to have the whole, oh, you weren't good enough, that's why you're self-published.
Yeah, and you know, because self-publishing, it kind of has that stigma. Well, not as much now as it did, but I mean, considering anybody can go out to Amazon and go to CreateSpace and publish, quote unquote.
Oh, what was that one? The guy did that one thing about how to be a pedophile book. He was self-published too. I mean, he was a published guy too. I mean, that's what people think of, because that was what was in the news. Right. Oh my gosh, self-published. Oh, was it like that guy?
Yeah, and anybody can put a Kindle book out. Anybody can do that. So, it doesn't mean as much as it used to. It wasn't like, hey, I'm, you know, self-publishing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you know?
Yeah, so I mean, there's a stigma with it, and I think people need to work on changing the stigmas and educating the general market about that, you know, there's comics here, and yes, they are as good as the ones you buy from Marvel and DC. They might have been picked up by Marvel and DC, but there are ones out there that are every bit as good, and they're on here. You just have to, you know, come look. And people don't know. If they don't know you're there, they're not going to come to see you. It doesn't matter what you call yourself.
Yeah, you're a niche within a niche within a niche within a niche.
I'm going to slap myself and call myself Charlie, but no one's still going to know Charlie exists, so.
Yeah, so I
I'm tired.
I don't know. I mean, this is a dilemma, and again, we're not, you know, giving anybody any answers. I think anybody that claims to have answers to this problem are fooling themselves, because it's a problem even the bigger comics are running into
now. We should have started it with, we have no answers for you.
We have no answers. We're just going to talk, you know, into the microphone and,
you know, sometimes we're amusing and sometimes we'll just piss you off, but
yeah,
it was, you know.
But I think the only advice I can give is to be open-minded and be nimble, because, you know, that
be nimble,
be quick.
Don't jump over candlesticks. Candlesticks look stupid.
But you're gonna have to, because things are changing, and they're changing quickly. And just the old way of doing things, just, you know, throwing the webcomic out there and, you know, magically getting a readership, that, I mean, it never really worked before, but it worked better 5 or 6 years ago than it works now.
And the thing is, you people are like, oh, my niche. And that's great. You might have a niche audience, but the problem with niches are shrinking, and niches mean they're small, and niches mean they're hidden, and they're hard. They're like, you know, enclosed or whatever. And you're going to have to think bigger, and we're going to have to probably start getting people into your, you know, you might find people who love your niche, but they have to know your niche is there that they can come, you know, join it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Just, you're thinking, everybody's thinking too small, and they're worrying about their niches, but their niches are declining. You need to bring more people in.
And then they all sit around, and this is what gets me too. And I mean, we even do this to some, you know, extent. We're like, why are our numbers dropping? Why can't I find readers? How come nobody seems to be coming in to read? It's because they just... they don't care anymore.
Yeah, they don't know.
They don't know you exist, or they don't care.
Yeah, the ones who might care don't know you're there.
Right, right.
So I think everybody needs to work on increasing awareness, I think, is ultimately the big...
I mean, you think about, like, I mean, even the people that would have cared about webcomics 10 years ago, I mean, they might be in college. Well, they're, you know, in their 30s with families and, you know, everything now. And it's just like, you know, start framing it like that, that these, you know... people are probably working professionals that were, like, really big into, you know, the webcomics thing, you know, back when they were into anime and all this stuff, too, and they're probably just not now.
Well, if you have to go to reach them where they are, you're going to have to advertise in places that cost a lot of money. I mean,
yeah,
no one could afford it. But maybe everybody got together and as a whole promoted webcomics, maybe they could do things to, you know, get the hold of people, get the reach them where they are. I don't know. I have no idea.
No, I don't either. And it's kind of interesting because, like, you know, there probably was an opportunity 10 years ago to sort of organize the whole webcomic thing a little bit better to try to, you know, retain readers. But I just think...
well, that ship sailed. It doesn't matter. That ship has sailed.
Yeah, I think it would have been like, well, maybe come up with a better way to, you know, do things. I don't know. But it just seems like now it's just a bunch of pockets of people, you know, doing their own thing to varying degrees of success. And
but pockets are, you know, itself the word means something, you know, small. And the thing is, the pockets of people, there's more and more and more and more trying to squeeze themselves into the pockets.
Yeah.
As, I mean, as far as, you know.
Yeah, it's there's no oversaturation. Like, you know, when the comics that are big now started, you know, there might have been a couple dozen or a couple hundred comics even online. And there are thousands, well, not just like one or two, there are like 100,000 webcomics out
there.
Well,
here's the thing though, with the oversaturation, there's two answers. Either people have to stop making comics because there's too many, which is
Darwinism,
which isn't fair.
Comic book Darwinism.
I mean, it isn't fair to someone who wants to tell a story. That's really
right,
unfair.
It's not fair. No.
But the other option is, which is what I'm saying, is okay, well then if you have a limited supply, if you have a huge amount of supply, you don't have much demand, you have to go out and find people who would be interested. And you need to bring them in. I mean, there's more than enough people in the world to go around for everybody, but people don't know.
Right.
I mean, you're talking like 1% of 1% of 1% of people read webcomics. I mean...
yeah, I know. It's
if you want it to work, it could work, but you're going to need like 20%.
Yeah, I mean, just think about the people you know. Think about the people you know outside your circle of friends who are into geek stuff. And think about, you know... are any of them reading webcomics? Have they ever heard of webcomics? Is grandma reading webcomics?
Probably. Well, my grandma does, but she reads it in the book form. But anyway.
But, I mean, it's just, yeah.
It's... my grandma's cool like that.
Mine plays video games. So
that's true. So our grandmas don't count because
like
they're actually all up.
Seven,
all,
she
know,
plays video games.
They're with it. But
it's just not... yeah, it's just not the same, and I do agree to an extent with the, you know, what Garrison Keillor was saying, where you're going to have a lot of people with audiences, but they're going to have relatively small audiences just because, you know, the pie is going to get chopped up.
Yes. So you need a bigger pie.
You need a bigger pie.
That's a solution. Either no pie for you or bigger pie for all. So it's
okay,
like,
well, there we go.
There's your two options.
Okay, so yeah, so your assignment, kids, is to go bake yourself a bigger pie.
And share, everybody says to share the pie. Everybody has to work together to bake a bigger pie.
Yeah.
Because everybody can bake a bigger pie, but it's not going to be big enough.
It's not going to be big enough.
You need
too
a
many,
big flipping pie.
Too many mouths to feed now. But these are just, you know, some random observations. And it's something we've been talking a lot about, especially in the last year or so. It just seems like things are definitely changing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, are you ready for it or not? That's up to you.
Pie.
Pie.
Our son would love this podcast.
The pie podcast.
He always randomly goes around going, pie,
pie,
for no reason. Pie.
Okay, so we about done then?
Pie.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to wrap it up, and we'd love to hear your thoughts, you know, if you want to give us a shout-out in the comments.
If you're pissed off.
If you're pissed off, feel free to comment. I can't guarantee that I will approve your comment, but we'll at least look at it and laugh.
That's not nice.
I never said I was nice.
No, you didn't. We're just honest.
Okay, as always, you can check us out at www.shadowbinders.com, and we'll talk to you when we talk to you. I think you're really going to have to come up with your own ideas because, you know, you follow the herd and they're going to get to the pasture first and they're going to eat all the grass.
Yeah, and then what you have left is the poop.
You have the poop.
If you come to the pasture and all the grass is gone and all's left is poop and you're digging through the poop trying to find a couple pieces left that you can glean, you know, to move on to stuff, and they're already another pasture.
You have a field full of poop. Yeah, that's why, you know, it definitely pays to be the innovator, because you get there first, and you know, a lot of what you're going to be getting from people that have already done it is
the poop.
The leftovers.
No, but like, but they deserve to get what they get, because they're the ones that came up with the idea in the first place. They're the ones that you know, planted the field.
Yeah.
So of course they should get to eat it, and then you get the poop.
The sloppy seconds.
Okay, your way's classier. I'll say poop, you say sloppy seconds.
But yeah, definitely you're going to have to try to innovate, not imitate.
There's a t-shirt.
There we go.